and Liverpool podcast, bringing you news, views, and reviews. Brought to you by Defnet Media and ArtInLiverpool.com. Presented by Neil Morin and Ian Jackson. On this week's Art in Liverpool podcast, we bring you the new Slaughterhouse Gallery and the Adrian Henry exhibition.
The Martha Rosler Library at the site.
Norman Aykroyd at Editions.
One Step Forward, One Step Back at the Anglican Cathedral.
And People in Love at the Grange. And a special interview with Dave Cottrell from Bright Moon Films about Passport to Liverpool premiering this Sunday at the Liverpool Philharmonic Hall. That's a big lineup there, Ian. Start off, tell us about the Adrian Henry exhibition at the New Slaughterhouse Gallery.
Yeah, this is the New Slaughterhouse at number 50 St Mary's Road, across the road from where the old one used to be. And it's a good place. It's bigger than the other one. It's a double-fronted shop. Was a shop, now it's a gallery. And so there's plenty of space there, all painted white and nicely tidied up. And yet so it's a good selection of Adrian Henry's work, drawings, assemblages, paintings, etc. It's a good show.
Let's go over to Alex Carina opening the new Slaughterhouse Gallery, along with Catherine Markengelly and Roger Phillips reciting one of Adrian Henry's poems.
Welcome you all to the new Slaughterhouse, which is the successor of the gallery that was at number 73, the gallery that the Daily Post and Echo last year put at number 25 out of 100 reasons why Liverpool is so great, allegedly. As you can see, it's bigger, it's larger, and is to be Garston's Creative Enterprise Centre, with Made in Garston and the Cultural Village being at its heart. For me, the highlight is the tribute and opening of the Adrian Henry exhibition.
Thank you for being here. It was Adrian's birthday yesterday, and so it's a good idea to give him a show for his birthday. And so I just want to thank Alex for giving me the opportunity to get all these things together. So this show is, the title and the theme comes from a poem of Adrian's, of meat and flowers I sing, etc., etc. And so I thought I'd put a show of meat and flowers. Meat and flowers being two kinds of things that decay. So there's death there always, but also energy. And I think that's hopefully what comes through, just like in the poetry, is the poetry of Adrian, is the energy that can, and the joyousness that can come out of a representation of death, like the Day of the Dead, or a painting of meat, or a dead bird, etc. So that kind of excitement and energy is probably conveyed in a poem of Adrian's, which Roger is going to read for us. So that's the tribute come poetry.
I want to paint 2,000 dead birds crucified on a background of night. Thoughts that lie too deep for tears. Thoughts that lie too deep for queers. Thoughts that move at 186,000 miles per second. The entry of Christ into Liverpool in 1966. The installation of Roger McGough to the chair of poetry at Oxford. Francis Bacon making the president's speech at the Royal Academy dinner. I want to paint 50 life-size nudes of Marianne Faithfull, all of them painted from life. Welsh maids by Welsh waterfalls. Heather Holden as Our Lady of Haslingden. A painting as big as Piccadilly, full of neon signs, buses, Christmas decorations, and beautiful girls with dark blonde hair shading their faces. I want to paint the assassination of the entire royal family. Enormous pictures of every paving stone in Canning Street. The Beatles composing a new national anthem. Brian Patton writing poems with a flamethrower on disused ferry boats. A new cathedral, 50 miles high, made entirely of pram wheels. An empty woodbine packet covered in kisses. I want to paint a picture made from the tears of dirty-faced children in Chatham Street. I want to paint I Love You across the steps of St. George's Hall. I want to paint pictures. I want to paint the simultaneous and historical faces of death. 10,000 shocking pink hearts with your name on. The phantom Negro postman who bring me money in my dreams. The first plastic daffodils of spring pushing its way through the Omo packets in the supermarket. The portrait of every sixth form schoolgirl in the country. A full-scale map of the world with you at the centre. An enormous lily of the valley with every flower on a separate canvas. Life-size jelly babies shaped like Hayley Mills. A black and red flag flying over Parliament. I want to paint every car crash on all the motorways of England. Père Ubu, drunk at 11 o'clock at night in Lime Street. A systematic derangement of all the senses. In black running letters, 50 miles high over Liverpool. I want to paint pictures that children can play hopscotch on. Pictures that can be used as evidence at murder trials. Pictures that can be used to advertise cornflakes. Pictures that can be used to frighten naughty children. Pictures worth their weight in money. Pictures that tramps can live in. Pictures that children would find in their stockings on Christmas morning. Pictures that teenage lovers can send each other. I want to paint pictures.
I want to paint, and he certainly could paint. What he wanted to paint was very interesting indeed.
Yes, indeed. It's a good poem, that. I remember that from a long time ago, yes. And beautifully read by Roger Phillips, of course. And yeah, a few celebrities there. Usual speech from Phil Redmond and Maria Eagle. All very positive about the prospects for the Garston Cultural Village, and they finally getting some money. And Maria Eagle is, in particular, is doing her best to promote it at government level, etc.
Really, it sounds like a really exciting project. Really, really exciting project. Sounds fantastic.
Yeah, and there'll be, as well as this gallery, there's going to be studio spaces, and the pavilion or embassy opens there in May, as that's partly funded by the biennial. So yeah, it sounds good.
And Martha Russell Library at the site.
Yeah, the site is now based at the Art College, 68 Hope Street, in the gallery there. And there's this Martha Rosler Library, which really does just look like your ordinary city library. So there's lots of old bookshelves. It takes up about half of the gallery space, with the typical bookshelves with indexes and potted plants on top of the shelves. And it's all signs. It's not just art books, it's lots of different books, science fiction and all kinds of things, politics and so on. And yeah, so it's all categorized. And so, and then the other half of the library, the gallery, there's like sofas and tables so you can sit around and read the books. You can't actually take them away, you can't borrow them. But there's a photocopier there, so you can take copies of various bits. It's good. By the way, it's there until June the 14th, and there's some talks arranged as well, mostly during May, I think.
You can browse through the books, photocopy the books. You can't borrow the books. It's not a lending library, but it's a big show. Were you impressed? Is it good?
I'm not sure. It is just like a library. So whether as an artwork, I don't know. I don't really know if it works, but it's a useful resource. Being in the university there, the art college, then the staff and students can use it. And there are a lot of art books there. So it's useful in that way, but whether it works as an artwork, I'm not sure.
Okay, let's leave that there for now then. Norman Ackroyd Editions. Now, it's not just Norman Ackroyd, there's three printmakers there. And what did you think, Sasha?
This is very good, yes. Yeah, they're all the three printmakers. It's all monochrome etchings, I think, or engravings, etchings, and mostly landscapes, seascapes, etc., of like the hills and valleys and lakes of Scotland and Wales and the Lake District, that sort of thing. Very atmospheric, really, really good. You know, yeah, some of the best prints I've ever seen.
Brilliant. It's well worth a visit.
It certainly is. Yeah, it's on until May the 10th. There's quite a lot of artwork on. It's only small gallery editions, but there's a lot of artworks crammed in there, and there's also a catalogue from Norman Ackroyd that you can buy as well.
Okay, let's see, where else? Saturday at the Grange. Oh, no, before we go on to that, One Step Forward, One Step Back. Now, I've heard you know, rave reviews about this at the Anglican Cathedral. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we went to this on the Thursday night, I think it was. It was set forward, one set back by a company based in Brighton called Dream Think Speak. And yes, very good. It got 4 stars in The Guardian. And they gave a bit too much away. I don't really want to say too much about what you see because there's lots of surprises. You get taken around or sort of directed around parts of the cathedral that you might not normally go to as a member of the public. It eventually takes you right up to the top of the tower so you can have a look. And it's evening time. It's not completely dark. It's just getting dark. So you can see all around the city. Fortunately, the rain stopped while we were up there. And then you go back down again and you go in all kinds of little alcoves and things that have been where there's art installations or there's an actor doing things. A lot of it's based on Blake's Milton poem, and the first part of that is Jerusalem. And so somebody's reciting parts of that. And other rooms have other interesting things. Well, I say I don't want to say too much about it, but yeah, if you do want to know more, you can read the review. I've put a review on the blog, and there's also links to The Guardian and also Liverpool.com did a review which also tells you a bit about it.
And how much was it?
It cost £12, but it's £8 with concessions, which include, if you've got an 08 card, which you should have, you can get in for £8. And it's just in the evening from 7 o'clock onwards. You go in small groups at 5 minute intervals. Inevitably, some go faster and some go slower, so you might overtake the ones in front of you or the people behind you dash past you. But yeah, I really do. I might go and see it again. It's great.
That's well worth a see. Saturday at the Grange. Tell us about the show there. You were one of the judges?
That's right, yes. It's an exhibition called People and Love, which involves 17 artists. And the curator, Nicole Bartos, decided to do a little prize award ceremony on a Saturday. So I was one of the judges, and we chose as the best was Sarah Nicholson. Then there was everyone who went on the Saturday could vote as well for like a public choice. Quite a few people went, so there was quite a lot of votes cast. And their choice was Alex Simpson, who coincidentally has a solo exhibition there in another room, which is very good. I really like his work. He does paintings, but also, what do you call them, assemblages, which are reminiscent of Peter Blake's, you know, the narrow boxes with a glassed front with little shelves in. And Peter Blake, I mention him because he's one, probably not many people do these things, but I've seen his in the Tate. There's quite often lots of bits and pieces from childhood or so on crammed in there. But Alex Simpson, they're more simplified. There's just two or three different things put it together in these boxes, and I like them, they're interesting. So he won the popular choice, and then the curator Nicole made her own choice, and she chose Richard Ashworth. So there were those three prizes. That goes on till May sometime, I think.
Okay, that sounds great. I love the assemblages, I love those boxes with the, you know, childhood ephemera, and that's I really like that.
I don't know why, but you're just things that you haven't seen for ages, and then coupled with some other things, they are interesting.
Brilliant, thank you very much. This week, what have we got coming up?
On Wednesday, April the 16th, it's the viewing of Richard Meegan's solo show at View 2. Yeah, very good stuff, definitely recommend to go to that. And the exhibition will continue until May the 10th. But you can go along on Wednesday evening, 6 till 9, and meet the artist and have a drink or two. I'll be there. Then on Thursday, there's two big exhibitions opening at the Walker. Thursday, it's at the Walker, there's the private view for the Art in the Age of Steam.
With Michael Palin?
Michael Palin's opening that, yes, but that it's a private view, which is probably invite only, so they may not let everybody into that. But it is open to the public from the Friday, obviously, the 18th. And yeah, this is the Art in the Age of Steam, which includes works by Manet, Monet, Van Gogh, Hopper, and photos by Bill Brandt and others. And it's all about the excitement of the steam train arriving in its earliest days.
In fact, on the very same night.
That's right, yes, the same night. There's the private view at FACT. This is Al and Al. The thing is called Eternal Youth. And it's the first UK solo exhibition by Al and Al. They do CGI things and blue screen things. And they've been based at the... Going back to railways, they've been based at the Edge Hill station, which is being transformed into a pavilion by Metal. And they've been there for 18 months residency, creating this work. I'm really looking forward to that. I like their work. I say it'll be, I assume it's mostly videos of them. They do. Yeah, it's blue screen, so there's a mixture of real people, but with CGI things going on as well. So they're quite interesting. They usually normally tell some sort of story, or you can work something out from what's going on.
I like blue screen. Have you ever done any blue screen work?
No. I haven't done any video work at all, actually.
Got to get you doing some video work in. And let's see. And they've got various events and workshops going on throughout that exhibition, and it's until June the 8th. Okay, tell us about the next show.
Then on the Friday, there's another viewing at the Albert Dock, at the small unit just further up from the Tate, where Pete Carr was recently, and there's been other exhibitions there. This is Rob Davis, a local painter, and the show's called Vital Energy. Rob is inspired by Western films. You can, I've seen some of these works, and so some of them are like Cowboys and Indians, but he does them quite, what's called Vital Energy, so there's an energy going on there. They're quite loose, quite watery paint, or thin paint, so that, although you can make out it might be Cowboys and Indians, it's quite abstracted. So yeah, it's his first solo exhibition for a long time.
And then on Saturday the 19th, I see we've got the art market at the Met Cathedral Pizza at noon. Oh, Piazza, sorry, at noon.
That's right, yes. No, sorry, no free pizza. It's at the Piazza, which is that area at the front of the steps at the Metropolitan Cathedral. They advertised only not very long ago that they were going to have these monthly markets. I think it's 36 stalls, 9 rows of 4 or 4 rows of 9 stalls, and they were snapped up very quickly by local artists and craft makers. So yeah, the first one is on Saturday, April 19th, from noon till 4 p.m. I believe, and then there'll be one in May and one in June as well.
And then also on Saturday the 19th, we've got the Lark Lane Atelier.
That's right, yes, in the evening, or from 5 till 8 o'clock on the Saturday 19th. This is an exhibition of artworks by the extended family of John Seymour. The gallery is actually run by Francis Seymour, or Francis Conway Seymour. I think the family is from the Bristol area. And John Seymour wrote these classic books on self-sufficiency, as in, you know, growing your own food and knitting your own muesli and that sort of thing. So there'll be some of his books on sale. they're really well-known books. If you go to any big bookseller, you'll see these books with little illustrations of sheep and things.
So one there for the allotment holders.
Yeah. It sounds like I'm taking a piss, but I'm not really. I'm really into that sort of thing. I assume a lot of the family into artists as well. I don't really know, but so there's his books and artworks by the extended family.
That sounds really good. I'll have to try and pop along there and, you know, see if I can find out something about self-sufficiency, living off the land. I'm here with Dave Cottrell doing an interview about Passport to Liverpool. Dave, I wonder if you can tell us, what's the film about?
Passport to Liverpool, it's about why Liverpool is different to other English cities. Obviously, most people may recognise Liverpool as being different in the sense of it's often regarded as being influenced by Ireland, by the Celtic connection. What we've tried to do is say, yeah, that's true, it is the Irish connection, but there's actually a lot more to it than that. And one of the things is the maritime culture, the maritime influences. In many cases, seafarers are really written out of history. Seafarers were generally seen as being riotous, rebellious, troublesome. They were seen as something to be hidden away. And what we're trying to do with this film is to peel back a little bit of history. Basically to say that if you go back over the centuries, then the maritime influences worldwide have influenced this city. And where that feeds through is through sailors, through dockers, feeds through markets, cosmopolitan communities, feeds through particularly with independent women. And independent women are a big feature in this film. We have Mary Burroughs, who worked on the markets all of her life. Her mother worked on the markets, on the barrows, for all of her life, and she died when she was 96, Mary's mother. So there's a big, long tradition going back there with that one individual. But that, in a sense, is connecting history with today. So it's about, you know, the past of the city, but it's also about how it connects and how it shapes the city today.
Okay, it's a really fascinating subject. And what is it that drove you to tell the story?
It goes back a relatively long way. I was involved with the doctors' dispute when the doctors were sacked in 1995, and obviously the dispute went through to January 1998. One thing that struck me about the Liverpool doctors were they were completely different to other trade unionists in Liverpool and very much different to trade unionists throughout the UK. Obviously, they had this rebellious trade. For example, there'd hardly been any official disputes on the docks. They were all unofficial. You find that amongst miners working on the coal face. With Liverpool dockers, they took it a stage further. They were also very much in opposition to their own union. Although they were part of the union, they were actually in opposition often to the union. There was a great humanity amongst the Liverpool dockers. There was a great sense of humour, great camaraderie, and that was a word that they used a lot. A huge amount of generosity, huge amount of solidarity that they displayed, you know, over decades and possibly hundreds of years. And because of this difference, the fact that they didn't really participate in the Labour Party or the Trades Council, they were very much, if you like, a community to themselves, but they had international links, they had international solidarity. And I was quite struck by how different they were. And that's how I started to question and think about some of these things. And I met Steve Higginson, who's written Edgy Cities. And Steve was really the instigator of Cunard Yanks in terms of the idea. And we started to see that seafarers and dockers were different in our view, partly because of casual labour. Casual labour meant that, you know, often people wanted to work for 3 or 4 days and then they work hard and then they would play hard. And although a lot of labour historians and trade unionists decry casual labour, actually, in a lot of cases, we found out that dockers and seafarers quite liked that lifestyle. They didn't have the same discipline. They didn't have the same structure as other trade unionists. So that's how it began.
You've got the premiere of Passport to Liverpool coming up this Sunday, the 20th of April, at the Liverpool Philharmonic Hall. Tell us a bit more about the event.
Well, I see that premiers obviously are aware of advertising the film, but they're hopefully aware of involving communities and audiences. Before we finished this film, we actually had an audience screening test where we invited people from the film industry, but everyday people came. We actually asked people to be very critical about what they thought of the film, and we took on board some of those criticisms and altered the film in small ways because of their comments. That was one way of involving people, but also the premiere and the events surrounding the premiere are a way of publicising the film. This is very much an independently produced film. We haven't had any budget from any organisation. We've financed it ourselves. We've produced it ourselves. We're going to market the film independently. And we think that's important in this year of Capital of Culture, that, you know, that is the nature of Liverpool as an independent city. So the film and the premiere sort of match each other in that sense.
You're showing the same kind of independence that the Dockers show.
Well, that's the idea.
That was Dave Cottrell there from Bright Moon Films. The premiere for Passport to Liverpool is being shown this Sunday, the 20th of April, at the Liverpool Philharmonic Hall. Tickets are available from the Liverpool Philharmonic box office. Further ahead.
Yes, further ahead, the following week, on Wednesday, April the 23rd, at Optimark Opticians, which happens to be my optician, coincidentally. I got my arty-farty glasses that I'm wearing now from there.
That's Optimark Opticians on Bull Street.
Yeah. I only went there recently because it's like the nearest one to where I live and looked okay. And as soon as we went in, we discovered he's really into art. There, Chris, I can't remember his surname. Yeah, he's really into art. He has artworks on the wall. And so he's teamed up with Dot Art, who do a lot of these events. You know, they do the Eat Art things at various restaurants around town, and now they start this Sea Art. And so there'll be an artist there, Doug Robinson, on the evening of the 23rd, and if you buy any eyewear on the evening, you'll get 15% off.
That's 15% off and at Optimark if you buy on Wednesday the 23rd of April during the opening of Doug Robinson's show. On the Thursday, the 24th, late at Tate, I see they've got another another event coming up, because it's, is that the last Friday and the last Thursday in the month?
That's right, the last Thursday of every month is late at Tate, from 6 till around about 9, I think, in the evening. I think it's mostly to do with the Nikki de Saint-Phalle exhibition again. I think somebody giving a talk, Griselda Pollock, is talking about encounters with Nikki de Saint-Phalle. But there's also performances, music by DJ Eric Soule. And, oh, I think students from Lipper are doing a response to the Rodin's Kiss.
That sounds like a great late at Tate.
Oh, also, music from Rags, who's supposed to be quite, well, she is very good, yeah.
Okay, and what else is happening then?
Yeah, the poetry, well, away from the visual arts, I suppose, Poetry in the City Festival has just started this week, and it runs till April 26th. Poetry readings and all kinds at quite a few of the Blue Coats, but other places like Bebbington Library and other places, the Casa, various places around town, around Merseyside. Full details on the website poetryinthecity.co.uk. And coming up a bit further ahead, for the whole of May, starting on May the 1st, is the Writing on the Wall Festival, which gets bigger and better each year. There's all kind of literature event and writing things going on, like Pulp Idol, where it's like a competition where young writers or new writers sort of stand up, like in X Factor, and read bits from their works, and judges decide who's the best, and they might be able to get a publishing deal eventually out of it. And there's people like Tony Benn and Blake Morrison, Howard Marks, John Cooper Clarke are giving talks and so on. Full details on the website. www.writingonthewall.org.uk.
That sounds really great. I love writing on the wall. Of course, I think I've performed in some of the previous events. I may well write a very quick pulp novel, or a couple of, you know, maybe a couple of pages from, and just enter it into that.
You've got 2 weeks to do that.
Okay, maybe I won't. Well, Ian, that's great. That's a lot going on this week, a lot coming up. As the year goes by, there seems to be more and more going on. Any final words for us?
Also, on Thursday, as well as we're going to the top of the Anglican Cathedral Tower, we went to the top of Beetham Tower, with the restaurant, the highest restaurant in the UK. That was, I'd recommend that as well. Expensive, but a great view and nice place.
Okay, of course, buy your eyewear at... Optimark, buy your eyewear at Optimark on Bow Street. I'd like to say good night.
Good night, see you again next week.
Bye bye now. Thanks for downloading from Deathbed Media, podcasting for your pleasure.